Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The final buzzer has sounded, and the game's over. It's time to talk about who played well and who didn't. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops Postgame Show, served up by Wendy's. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens this May at the Potawatomi Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. Now, let's get to your calls and reaction from the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
The final buzzer of the regular season for the Bucks has sounded. Toby Altizer in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer as the Bucks fall to the Orlando Magic in their final game of the season, 113-88. Talking with you guys, if you want to hop in, 414-677-1250. We're taking a look at the Bulls and the Knicks as they're wrapping up as well, and then the Bucks will know their seeding. They can currently fall to the 3 seed if the Knicks win. They will stay at the 2 seed if the Knicks were to lose. Currently, it looks like the Bulls are up by 2 with about a minute to go. We'll keep you updated there. Just looking at some of the other scores that impacted the Bucks today, the Cavaliers ended up losing to the Hornets, who Donovan Mitchell didn't play today. 120-110, the Cavaliers fell, so that meant that the Bucks would either get the 2 or the 3 seed. Again, we'll keep you up to date with all that's going on in Chicago, in New York's game. But looking for the Bucks, just taking a look through some of the box score, you know, first quarter I thought was good. They came out with real effort. They looked like they wanted to play in the first quarter, and then the second quarter was a disaster, only scoring 12 points, and then sometime during the second half, it seemed like that switch got turned off a little bit, and that's why you ended up with some garbage time with about 7 minutes left, all the guys getting pulled, and you kind of turned that into that garbage time. But Bobby Portis, I thought, played solid today. He finished with a double-double, 17 points and 10 rebounds in 31 minutes. Chris Middleton was up and down. There were some stretches where he looked like he had a little bit going, kind of like he did the other night. And then there were stretches where he just couldn't get a shot to fall. He was 6 of 15 from the field with 17 points and 5 assists and 3 rebounds in 32 minutes. A tough scoring night for Damian Lillard. 2 of 14 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3. Luckily, he had 13 free throws. He made 12 of them, or he wouldn't have been able to contribute much at all. He finished with 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Looking at some of the other guys that played significant roles, Brook Lopez had 11 points. Pat Bev started in 26 minutes, only scored 2 points. Beauchamp had 7 points off the bench. Connaughton didn't score off the bench. Beasley with 4 points. It just wasn't much of an effort in the second half, frankly, from the Bucks. It didn't look like they were interested in playing, which we'll talk about in a little bit. It's a little bit concerning to me. It's the 82nd game of the year. You've got a week off until you're going to play your next game, which is going to be game one of a playoff series. You'd like to see some of that intensity ramp up. You saw it in the first quarter. You didn't see it much after that, especially in the second half. There was a point with about 10 minutes ago in the fourth quarter where you had back-to-back possessions, lazy, lazy, lazy passes where it was clear the guy was going to jump in the passing lane. You threw the pass anyway. It leads to run-out dunks. Doc Rivers immediately calls timeout. He could not have been happy with that. But just going through and looking at some of the notes from today's game, Chris Middleton became the second all-time in games played in Bucks history. He passed Junior Bridgman. So Chris Middleton and Giannis, the top two to ever wear the Bucks uniform. I thought the first quarter, like I mentioned, I thought they started well. They were up 30-22 at the end of the first quarter, but that second quarter was a bit of a disaster for the Bucks. Only 12 points in that second quarter. Bobby Portis played well overall in the first half, though, with 14 points. Chris Middleton and Damian Lillard really struggled in that first half, and that kind of contributed to that poor second quarter. Only 16 points combined for those two in the first half. Again, Bobby had 14. Those two only combined for 16. They were 3 of 18 from the field, including 1 of 11 from Damian Lillard. He didn't end up making a 3. He was 0 for 3 in the first half. Chris Middleton got a little bit more going at some point in the third quarter, it felt like, but still not much for him on the day. The only reason that they were able to put up those 16 points, they were 10 of 11 from the line in the first half combined. Jonathan Isaac chipping in on the defensive end for the Magic with 3 blocks. I think a big story of that too, hard shots for the Bucks, and they weren't making any of them. The Bucks only had 12 points in the paint in the first half out of their 42 points. The Magic were able to get 26 points in the paint in the first half. The Bucks trailed at halftime 47-42. The Bucks only shooting 31% from the field in the first half, 25% from beyond the arc, 4 of 16. The Magic, I thought the defensive effort was fine in the first half, honestly. If you can hold a Magic team, I know they're not one of the better offensive teams, but anytime you can hold an NBA team to under 100 in terms of pace, then you're fine with that, right? They only held them to 47 points, under 44% shooting, 43.9% from the field, under 25% from 3. They were only 3 of 14 for a 21% clip. So I think you can live with that defensive effort. Like I said, I felt like in the first half, they at least came out with some effort ready to play. I don't know that you'll say championship effort, a playoff effort, but it did feel a little bit like a playoff atmosphere. You could tell some of the chippiness, the trash talk, the physicality. You could tell the Orlando Magic were coming out to play today. They wanted to avoid being stuck in that play-in tournament, rightfully so. For the Bucks, not tons and tons to play for, even though you want that 2 seed. I don't know. And we're going to get into it as we see what happens with this Chicago and New York game. The best case scenario for the Bucks might be that 3 seed. But again, we're going to get into more of the playoff scenarios here in the coming hour and a half here with you here on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's. In the second half, you could tell the Magic were ready to roll. They came out with some of that fire that the Bucks just didn't have. There was a nice little stretch there where Middleton got a little bit going, quick 4-0 run, where he got Wagner on a post-up and was able to hit a little fadeaway jumper. He got Suggs on a post-up and then drove baseline on a spin and got an easy 2. I think that's some of the stuff that you're going to have to see out of Chris Middleton in the playoffs, because Giannis is going to be back out on the floor. Obviously, he demands a presence. If Damian Lillard shoots like this, maybe he won't demand the presence, but he's still got the name, right? So he's going to demand a presence. He's not going to have guys helping off of him. So Chris Middleton, if he can get some work one-on-one, he's going to have to be able to make some of those shots. And it doesn't have to be that he's scoring 25 points a night. But even if it's just 12 to 14 points a night where he's the one taking over, it's a rest for yards of buckets from Middleton where he can just go one-on-one with a nice little post-up and get, you know, to his fadeaway jumper or even drive to the bucket. I like some of those moves. Another interesting thing that you saw, you know, potentially there was during a point there where it was looking like the Cavaliers and like the Cavaliers were up. It was looking like the Knicks could win and the Bucks could fall all the way down to the 4 seed, which would not have been ideal. But there was at one point a chance where they could match up with the Magic in the playoffs. Looked like they maybe threw some different things out there just to see. They switched to a zone at one point. Jalen Suggs blew right by Brook Lopez. He got the ball in the corner. Lopez closed out from the center there, and he blew right by him for a dunk. No one was there to help. Lopez was frustrated after that. So it seemed like there was a little bit of miscommunication. I don't know if that was a hustle thing. I don't know if that's just a miscommunication there, but that wasn't great. They got out-hustled on the boards on that. That zone look didn't look so great. Now, they're not going to face off with the Magic in the first round, so not too big of a deal. But at the end of the third quarter, the Magic led 80-71. Like I talked about earlier, horrible effort with back-to-back lazy passes early in that second quarter kind of marked the end of the road there for the Bucks as they went to garbage time with about 7 minutes to go, put everybody in. So What do you make of today's effort? What do you make of the potential playoff matchups as the Bucks fall to the Magic today, 113-88? The phone lines are open at 414-677-1250. We're going to hear from Doc Rivers coming up in just a little bit, just taking a look at the schedule as well. Tuesday through Friday is going to mark the play-in tournament. The first round is going to be Saturday. But right now, you've got the Knicks and the Bulls going to overtime, tied at 109, and that's going to determine the Bucks' fate here. Now, this is going to be outdated very quickly, Charlie, but just before, you know, as overtime's going on here, I kind of think that 3 seed is the spot, if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, that you would want to be. Why? Miami and Philadelphia are sitting there. One of those two teams is going to be the 7 seed. And yes, the Bucks can beat both of those teams. I don't know that you want to step in and your first 7-game series after losing back-to-back games going into the playoffs and Giannis maybe not being fully 100%. I don't know that your first playoff series you want to match up with either of those teams.
No, not at all. I think looking at what we have going forward, I would rather play the Indiana Pacers from that 3 seed playing against the 6 seed. What we were talking about earlier is that Joel Embiid comes in. He's coming off 3 months of getting healthy, getting rest before this past month where he started playing again. He's looked phenomenal. The Sixers look like a completely different team with him on the court. And then you look at the Miami Heat, and you had mentioned before that the key in that game is Eric Spoelstra, and the Bucks just have not been able to game plan against Eric Spoelstra so far. So I think it kind of comes down to which of the lesser evils would you want to play in that first round. And personally, this year, the Miami Heat just don't have the same vibe that they've had the past couple years, especially last year when they took away the chance for the Bucks to make it farther in the playoffs in that first round, you know, made it all the way to the finals. They just don't seem like the same team this year. So I think I'd rather play them out of those three.
Yeah, and I don't know, though. Like, you have the Pacers as a team, so just taking a look at the standings as everything is kind of finished up, only 1 game going on currently out of the Eastern Conference, just how the NBA scheduled everything today. I kind of like what they did. Every Eastern Conference team tipped off at noon, so every single one of the Eastern Conference teams, aside from the New York Knicks, knows their standing right now, obviously the Bucks as well. But Boston obviously finishes as a top seed, 64-18. As things stand currently, the Bucks finish the year at 49-33. Again, if the Knicks win, the Knicks get the 2 seed. If the Knicks lose, the Bucks get the 2 seed. So we're keeping an eye on what's going on at MSG. Jalen Brunson has 40 points on the day against the Bulls. But the Cavaliers are locked into the 4 seed. They're going to take on the Orlando Magic at 47-35 on the year. The Pacers also 47-35, but they avoid the play-in tournament, so they're going to be the 6 seed. So the Knicks or the Bucks, whoever draws the 3 seed is going to face off against the Pacers. And then just a refresher on the play-in tournament, the 7 and 8 seeds are going to play each other. That's the 76ers as the 7 seed. The 8 seed is the Miami Heat. They're going to play each other. So that means that, you know, they're going to play in Philadelphia in a couple of days, and the winner of that game gets the 7 seed. The loser will take on the winner of Chicago and Atlanta, and then that will be the 8 seed, whoever wins that one, and Boston will draw them. Now, it's tough because you've got 3 teams possible for the Bucks to match up against: the Pacers, the Sixers, the Heat. And the Bucks are in a good spot in that the seeding doesn't necessarily matter in terms of they're not going to face Boston in the second round. So there was a chance earlier today that if the Cavaliers would have won, which they did not, the Knicks win, which they still could, like we said, we're monitoring their overtime game against the Bulls, and the Bucks were to lose, then the Bucks could have fallen to the 4 seed, and they would have matched up with the team that they just lost to today, or it would have changed a little bit. Some of the seeding would have. I think maybe everybody bounced up, so they might have honestly faced the Pacers. But if that were to have been the case, that's fine, but you're going to end up in the second round matching up against the Boston Celtics, and I don't think that's something that you want to see. So now the Bucks are going to avoid the Celtics in the second round, assuming they can get through their first round matchup. Now it becomes between the Pacers, the Sixers, and the Heat. And all of them have their pros and cons. I think the big thing is when you get into a playoff series, you don't want to face a team that has a clear superstar, right? And especially a superstar that feels like they can take over the game, and one that's proven in the playoffs. So I wouldn't want to face Embiid, but that kind of goes back on my statement of proven in the playoffs. Joel Embiid is not proven in the playoffs. He's not, I don't know if he's 100%, but he's out on the floor. He's been rested. He hasn't played a whole lot. So he tweaked his knee the other night, got back out there, but they're going to be in the play-in tournament. Would you want to face them? You talked about the Heat. I just struggle wanting to face the Heat. They're that team that even if they're not on a groove, they can just find it in the playoffs with Eric Spoelstra and with Jimmy Butler. I would not want to face Miami. You know, Indiana's a tough one because they can get up and down. And they're a team that if the Bucks play with some of the intensity that we've seen over the last couple of weeks at times, especially these last two games, I know it's the end of the regular season, and I know that it's game 81 and 82, and Giannis isn't playing, and maybe they weren't as worried about playoff seeding. I get all of those things. But if they come out with this sort of an effort in any game against Indiana, I don't know if you saw the score of the Indiana Pacers game today. They dropped 157 on the Hawks. I know the Hawks aren't that good, but they dropped 157. Their lowest scoring quarter was the fourth with 32 points. They scored 49 in the first quarter. If you don't bring the effort against Indiana with a team led by Tyrese Halliburton, they're going to get up and down the floor, and they're going to score. And they might not be able to defend you. They might not be able to stop you, but they're going to get up and down. And if you're going to have the sort of effort that we saw in the second half today, which you hope you won't see, but you've seen it too often from the Bucks this year, it feels like, right? You've seen that sort of effort, especially on the road, a little bit too much. You can't just all of a sudden feel like you're going to flip the switch. I'm hoping, like we talked about on Friday, I'm hoping that you get into the playoffs, you shorten the rotations, you know, you're game planning for one specific team. I'm hoping that that means that this team is going to lock in. But I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case. And if you're going to face a team like Indiana on paper, yeah, you should run through them, especially having the best player in that series in Giannis Antetokounmpo. But if you don't match their intensity, which they're going to bring because they're young and vibrant and they want to run, then you could be in some serious trouble. But it also could be a good thing where you're facing a Pacers team that isn't as seasoned in the playoffs, and you can come in as a team that's won an NBA Finals with a leader like Giannis. Even though Damian Lillard hasn't been to the NBA Finals before, he has some playoff experience. If you can go with some of that experience and work with that, maybe you can find a way to get in a groove by facing a team like Indiana as opposed to having to face a playoff-tested team like Miami or having to face a team that's, I wouldn't say playoff-tested, but they've played plenty of playoff games in the 76ers. So again, we're keeping an eye on Madison Square Garden. That's kind of going to determine the Bucks' fate here. Right now, it looks like I'm a little behind because I'm streaming it on my phone. But I'm a little 118-114. The Knicks are up with about 45 seconds to go in overtime. So we'll keep you updated on that. We'll take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about what Doc Rivers has to say in his press conference. We'll hear from him. We'll take a look at what's happened so far in the NBA today. We'll look at the different scenarios for the Bucks, and then I want to ask you, we'll get through to this throughout the show, is it finals or bust? You know, before the season, and you looked at the trade that was made for Damian Lillard, it felt like it. Does it feel like it now after a regular season that finishes 49-33 with two different head coaches, with all the craziness of this season? Is it finals or bust for the Bucks? We'll talk about all that and more on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's. Toby Altizer in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Let's hear what the coach had to say about today's game next on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
And we will hear from head coach Doc Rivers coming up in just a little bit. Charlie will grab that for us and let us know when that's ready to go. But winding down here at Madison Square Garden, and the Bucks will then know who they're going to face. The New York Knicks are up on the Chicago Bulls 120-117 with about 20 seconds to go in overtime. Just looking for the Bucks. which team do you really want to face, though? Like, we were laying it out. There's one of three teams that the Bucks can face, depending upon whether they get the 2 seed or whether they get the 3 seed. If they get the 3 seed, they know for a fact they're going to face off against the Indiana Pacers, and that would happen if the New York Knicks finish this off and win this game against the Chicago Bulls. And then on the flip side, if something happens here where Chicago ends up winning that game, the Bucks would face off with the 76ers or the Miami Heat in that play-in tournament game. But something that we were talking about a little bit earlier, and I think it does come down a little bit to what happens here and who they're going to face in the first round, is it finals or bust for the Bucks? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Because, you know, if you think back to the beginning of the year, and, you know, I no longer live out in Wisconsin, so I've been following a little bit more from afar. You guys are obviously ingrained in it, as opposed to I'm kind of following it from the outside. But I think it is interesting sometimes when you get it from that perspective, you get that outside look. And from out here in D.C., where I currently live, you know, it felt like when the Bucks made the trade for Damian Lillard, like, all right, all systems go. It should be all aboard for the Milwaukee Bucks to win this thing. And then all the craziness of this regular season happened. Obviously, we talked with Rohan Kadi on Friday, and I think he laid it out perfectly. It feels like three different seasons. It feels like this season for the Bucks does not feel like it's been only 82 games. It feels like it's been like 182. It feels like this team has gone through so many different twists and turns and this and that and this and that. And, you know, usually an NBA regular season, because it's 82 games, feels long. But this one felt longer. This one just felt like a marathon, similar to how a baseball season at times is, where you're like, oh, yeah, that game back in April, when you get towards the end of the regular season because you just don't remember all these things. Well, that's kind of how this Bucks season feels, right? It's just, remember back to, and it's also one of those things, too, where, you know, if you want to draw comparisons on some of these things, like, we're going to go inside the box score in a little bit, and whoever the Bucks draw as an opponent or a potential opponent, we're going to go through and look at the various matchups and try to look back at what happened in the regular seasons for these teams. You look back on some of these matchups in November and December, does it even matter if you're the Bucks? Like, does it even matter? Because it was so long ago, it was a different head coach, it was a different everything. So for this Bucks team, it's one of those things, too, where while you don't feel good, I don't know any Bucks fan that's going to feel over-the-moon confident going into whatever team they face against in the first round of the playoffs. In that series, I don't know any Bucks fan that is going to feel overly confident and feel like it's a shoe-in that they're going to win this thing. But is it something where they're still learning? And if they just click, something clicks. You see this all the time with young players. Maybe not teams as much, but you see it all the time with young players, or they get into the NBA or the NFL or baseball, wherever it is, and they tell you about the game slowing down a little bit, and all of a sudden they take off and they go from being just a guy to being, you know, that stud that you expected them to be. You wonder if it's possible that this Bucks team, they found, you know, bits and pieces where they've clicked in their time under Doc Rivers, but has it felt like they've really gotten everything together? I don't know that it has. Maybe getting into a playoff series with Doc Rivers and having everything laid out for them, maybe that's what they need, and maybe that gets them going. An update currently at MSG, 120-119, the Knicks lead the Chicago Bulls with 2.1 seconds left. Again, significant for the Bucks, because if the Knicks win, then that means the Bucks fall to the 3 seed and they would face the Indiana Pacers. But let's quickly take a look around the NBA at the scoreboard for these teams and just talk about what happened today so far. So currently, the Western Conference teams are all in action. Really cool what the NBA has done, because there was a lot on the line today. There really was. And so all the Eastern Conference teams played at the same time. This is something where if the Bucks knew some of the results of these matchups, maybe they end up sitting Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton, and they throw out their garbage time lineup from the tip. But they didn't do that today because there was still a chance they could win that two seed. And, you know, maybe either way. Hornets beat the Cavaliers today 120-110. Again, that was significant because the Cavaliers losing made it so the Bucks could not get the 4 seed, so they were locked into the 2 or 3 seed. The Pacers beat the Hawks today 157-115. Just a spectacular scoring display from the Pacers. 49 points in the first quarter for them. The Heat beat the Raptors 118-103. And we have a final in overtime now. The Knicks beat the Bulls 120-119. So we're going to get into this more in just a little bit. But that means that the Bucks are now locked in to facing the Indiana Pacers. The 76ers beat the Nets 107-86. The Celtics finished off their regular season with a win over the Wizards 132-122. And the Bucks fell to the Magic 113-288. So again, just going final out at MSG, the Knicks beat the Bulls 120-119 in overtime. That means we now know who the Bucks are going to play. And frankly, Charlie, I feel like this is the best case scenario for the Bucks. They're going to be the 3 seed now, and that means that they're going to face Indiana. There's a couple reasons. They don't have to face the Sixers, and they don't have to face the Heat in the first round. They won't have to face Boston in the second round, so they avoid all those things, and they know who they're going to face. Doc Rivers talked about it post-game on Friday. If it came down to it, where they were to fall out of the 2 seed, the one positive that he took out of it, they would have 4 practices between the end of the regular season today and their first-round matchup whenever they end up tipping off game one against Indiana. They will actually know who they're going to face. And so now they know exactly who they're going to face. Charlie, do we have Doc Rivers ready to roll?
Not yet. He hasn't gone on air yet. I'll let you know.
All right, perfect. So we'll hear from Doc Rivers coming up in just a little bit. But what do you make now, Bucks fans? You know who the team is going to face. 414-677-1250. The Bucks are going to match up with the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. 414-677-1250. The 3 seed versus the 6 seed. Again, today, if you're going anything off today, the Bucks laid a bit of an egg. And let's just take a look at the box score for Indiana today, because they were having some fun at the Hawks' expense today. They dropped 157 and beat the Hawks 157-115. Miles Turner had 31 points. Pascal Siakam had 28. Tyrese Halliburton only had 12 points, but he had 13 assists. Aaron Nembhard with 10. Looking at some of the guys chipping in off the bench. Doug McDermott with 15. TJ McConnell with 17. Jabari Smith with 10 points. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of scoring. You know this. The Bucks have scored a lot against the Pacers, and the Pacers have scored a lot against the Bucks. We're going to take a look at some of the previous matchups of these two teams. But how do you feel, Bucks fans? 414-677-1250. How do you feel facing off against the Indiana Pacers in the first round? What are some of your playoff predictions now that we've got an idea of what these playoff matchups are going to be? We're going to go through the rest of them here in just a second. And is it finals or bust? If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, is it finals or bust? So just quickly looking through the Eastern Conference here. Now we know the whole standings of the Eastern Conference. We can take a look at the playoff bracket for the Eastern Conference. The Celtics finish as the 1 seed. They're going to play the 8 seed winner, whoever that is, and that can be either the Hawks, the Bulls, the Heat, or the 76ers. The Knicks got the 2 seed. They're going to face off either against the 76ers or the Heat. The Bucks finish as the 3 seed at 49-33. They're going to face off against the Indiana Pacers. And the Cavaliers are going to face off against the Magic. And so, again, a good thing for the Bucks here, because not only do you avoid the Sixers and the Heat. I don't know how all Bucks fans feel, but to me, that just feels like an ideal scenario. And you're going to face off against an Indiana Pacers team that isn't the most proven in the playoffs. They're still very young. yes, they can get up and down the floor, and yes, there have been some fun games against one another, and obviously some of the history, some of the fun this year between those two teams with the game ball and Giannis is 64, all that craziness. That's going to be fun to see that in a playoff environment. But it's a team you feel like you should be able to beat. It's a team you feel like you should be able to handle your business against because you're going to have the best player on the floor. And Tyrese Halliburton's been fantastic all year, but you're going to have two of the three best with Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Tyrese Halliburton fits in there somewhere, whether he's second or third. But I think you got to be pretty confident if you're a Bucks fan. So if you can get through there, then you're going to face off with the Knicks and whoever wins that series of the 2-7 series, and you're going to avoid the Celtics. Because that was the other thing that worried you today if you were a Bucks fan, and they weren't going to get it done today against the Magic, which, again, first quarter effort today from the Bucks was good. They came out and played well. Second quarter, offense was very bad, couldn't make any shots. And then the second half, just the whole defensive effort, everything kind of fell apart for the team. But you're going to avoid Boston in the second round. That was the big thing to me, was I didn't care whether they finished as a 2 seed or the 3 seed. I think this is honestly the ideal scenario for them. But it didn't really matter to me if they finished as a 2 or the 3 seed, because that meant they were going to still avoid Boston in the first round. You just had to avoid the 4 seed with the Cavaliers loss. That happens now. And so I think the Bucks are locked into a good spot. I want to hear from you guys. Also, we're going to hear from Doc Rivers coming up in just a little bit. And want to remind you, too, that Wisconsin Sports Daily is going to be back tomorrow. Maybe it's a good thing that I'm not going to be doing any postseason postgame shows, because currently I'm 0-2. Sparky's going to be back, though. And also, make sure you want to listen tomorrow from 2 to 5, because Wisconsin Sports Daily's back. Sparky Pfeiffer talking about all your Wisconsin sports. And some Bucks postseason tickets for giveaway. So make sure you're listening to that. Also, tomorrow, Sunday, it's a great day. It's a Masters Sunday, the end of the regular season for basketball. You got baseball on the television now, Brewers, Orioles. You got all the great stuff. But tomorrow, Monday morning, not always great. And if you're not a morning person, well, you can be now, because Wendy's is bringing you one more sweet reason to hop out of bed. The all-new Cinnabon Pull-Apart. It's the new go-to breakfast treat to satisfy those morning cravings. It's got all the flavors you love from Cinnabon, like that warm, sweet cinnamon sugar rolled dough, the perfect ooey-gooey texture, and a dollop of that signature cream cheese frosting. Get your day off to a sweet start with Wendy's Cinnabon Pull-Apart. Man, I'm not a Mondays guy. I'm not a morning person. But that makes me want to get out of bed tomorrow morning and rush to Wendy's. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the Bucks and the Pacers matchup. What does it mean for the Bucks? What do they need to do? Also, is it finals or bust? Now that we kind of know that at worst, the Bucks are going to run into the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to avoid the Heat and the Sixers in the first round. Does it feel like, once again, like it did at the beginning of the year a little bit, that it's finals or bust for the Bucks? 414-677-1250. Toby Altizer in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The final buzzer has sounded, and the game's over. It's time to talk about who played well and who didn't. It's the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops Postgame Show, served up by Wendy's. The new Pottawatomie Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens this May at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. Now, let's get to your calls and reaction from the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
It is the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan. Toby Altizer in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer for the final game of the regular season as the Bucks fall to the Magic 113-88. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee is about to change what it means to bet big and bet bold. With a huge video wall, seating for over 200, an expanded food menu, and more, the new Pottawatomie Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens this May. Doc Rivers talked after the game, after the Bucks fell to the Magic 113-88. I'm interested to hear what he had to say. He probably talked before we had the final results of the Knicks game and knew that they were locked into the three seed. But let's hear from head coach, the Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers, after the game today.
Yeah, I thought way too many ISOs. Just and not only did we ISO the wrong guy. Jonathan Isaac changed the game for them. He's long, he's effective, and it was, you know, we just kept sitting pick and rolls with him instead of other guys. But good lesson, you know. We're not a good ISO team, though. I think we've proven that through the year. We are at times, but I think we're up 9. I think we had 10 or 11 straight possessions, and we may have scored once, may not have scored any of them. That's something, you know, I talked about it at halftime. I talked about it before the game. That's just something we have to catch ourselves. We have to be better in that. You know, two or three times down the court, you don't get the shot you want, execute a play. And that's not what we've done in the past, but that's what we have to do in the future if we want to be a good basketball team.
Do you think the paint, I think 4 of 12 in the paint, it was only made 30%. So was some of that some variance? Did you like some of the looks inside? Or
I didn't like many of our looks. I thought defensively they were great. So I didn't like a lot of our looks. I didn't like a lot of our possessions, you know, and that's on me trying to get them in the right spot. But we didn't run a very good offensive game tonight.
You mentioned how Isaac changed the game, but that combo of him is like defensively, which is
yeah. Assessment. Yeah, I thought all their guards, you know, I thought he shortened the rotation today. He basically went with the defensive players, you know, and they were far more physical than us tonight as well. And that's something that can never happen with us, but they were.
As we kind of wait to figure out the seeding, you did clinch the Central Division. I know, as you said, but it's named after Wayne Embry.
You got to, yeah. Anything after Wayne Embry is a good award, is the way I look at it, you know. He's a pioneer. of the league. I mean, he literally is why I believe I'm coaching, because he's the guy that I seek advice on when I first got out of the league. I had two or three coaching assistant coaching jobs interviews, and he told me not to take them. Told me to go to TV and let everybody see your brain instead of sitting on the bench and no one sees you. And he was right. So it's cool. Listen, winning anything is nice. That means you earned it and you got it. And now we're on the bigger things.
You lose 8 of 11 in the season.
Yeah.
How do you try to right the ship?
I'm not worried about the 8 of 11. I can't get them back. No one wants to lose that. That's on me and the team. But what can I do? You know, we're here for right now, starting right now. It's what, unfortunately, I think all of our players were looking for, honestly. And that's what we're going to get.
How do you just...
We're hoping we're gonna work hard. We need work, but we're also gonna get some rest, because you know we may not play until Sunday, and if that's true, you know, we'll have a lot of prep time.
There's a possibility that you don't have Giannis in that game.
Yeah.
What have you taken from the games without him here offensively?
I think there's times we can be really good offensively, and then there's times that we struggle. I mean, Giannis and Dame are two primary ball handlers, and we take one off the floor. And that stretch when Dame's off the floor is where we're going to have to, by playoff time, be really good at. Because that's where the ball handling issues come usually. And, you know, the Oklahoma game, we turn it over. No Dame. And stretches tonight, the same thing. And that's going to be the biggest thing for us if Giannis doesn't play.
You mentioned a lesson learned with ISO-ing, Isaac being the wrong man.
Yeah.
This being a Magic team that you could very well see in the playoffs. How valuable is that lesson?
I think they're all good lessons. I don't know if there's a bad one, you know, out there. As long as you learn it, you know, you could talk about it, but then you have to put it in action.
So two things off of that. Number one, I don't love the fact that initially in that press conference when he's talking, he did not like the offensive sets and the effort. I mean, this is game 82. I understand it's not game 82 of the Bucks with Doc Rivers, but it's still game 82. You've got to get something figured out. And this could be the team that walks in, like you heard at the end of that press conference, this could be the team that walks in game one, maybe game two, against Indiana at Pfizer Forum at the end of the week, leading into next week, for the playoffs. And you couldn't figure anything out, and you felt too ISO heavy? Not great. And second, Charlie, you haven't worked with Sparky for too long. I've had a little bit of experience with Sparky, about a year and a half. I would have loved to have heard Sparky's reaction when Eric Name asked a fantastic question and said, hey, you've lost 8 of 11 coming in. How do you kind of right the ship? And Doc's like, well, we can't get anything back. You know, what can I do? Can you imagine what Sparky would have said if he heard Doc Rivers say, what can I do? I don't know, man. You're the head coach of the basketball team. You can figure something out. What can I do? I'm sorry, you were hired to figure things out and get this team going in the right direction. Can you imagine a Sparky blow-up after hearing that?
Oh, of course. Of course.
that would have been an epic rant. I wish we could hear Sparky on that. But yeah, it doesn't make you feel good when you got the head coach of your basketball team saying, yeah, what can I do? I don't know. I'm not thrilled with some of the answers I heard there from Doc Rivers because, you know, if they are going to be without Giannis, these last two games, the effort has been very poor, especially in the second half today. And like I talked about, now that you know you're facing off against Indiana, you don't love the fact that you couldn't figure something out offensively against a good defensive team in the Magic. Now you're going to face, you know, a much worse defensive team in the Pacers, and that's fine. But you got to figure out some sort of rhythm, and I don't like the fact that Doc is talking about, yeah, we relied too much on ISO, we couldn't figure it out, and I probably should have done... I hate that, and that's part of the reason that Bucks fans could not stand Mike Budenholzer. It was the, yeah, after the fact, I should have done this, or, you know, no adjustments in game, nothing, right? That was the frustration with Mike Budenholzer. It wasn't something where on the fly he could fix stuff. You've got to be able to fix stuff. I don't want to freak out about the 82nd game of the year because, frankly, no one's going to remember this game in about a week. It does not matter. But if this stuff starts happening in the Pacers series, you're not going to feel real good because he's still not figuring stuff out. And I don't love the fact, too, that this team's effort in the last couple of games without Giannis in there has just not been up to par at portions of the game. And I just don't feel like effort is something that you just turn on and turn off. I feel like that's something you have, or you're just, you're kind of missing it. It's something that you can improve, but if you're not always giving, like there were examples today where they went to a zone and there was a rebound to be had and Bobby was not in position because he'd been boxing someone else out or whatever. You could see Bobby kind of let down, like, oh, someone else will grab that board. And you saw Pat Connaughton, like, someone else is going to grab that board. And you cannot have that come postseason time. Because guess what the Pacers are going to do as a young basketball team? They're going to come flying after every single board. They're going to come after everything. It's a playoff series. That effort has to be escalated. And I did not like what I saw in the second half today. And it worries you. Because if you don't have Giannis, you know Giannis is going to give 100% effort. You know that. Giannis Antetokounmpo. You don't have to worry about him. And so whether he's on the floor or not, I'm not worried about Giannis. But I am a little bit worried about the rest of the group. And that includes Doc Rivers. You got to be a little bit worried. I don't know anyone that's incredibly confident as a Bucks fan going into this playoffs, which is concerning. But like I've talked about, maybe this is something that gets them right. Maybe you get through the first round here and things start to go in the right direction and you start to figure out, all right, this is where this guy's got to fit with Doc. And now that we've kind of forced to figure things out, you know, it's almost like when you're in college. Charlie, you're just out of college. I don't know how you were as a student, but I was a little bit of a procrastinator. I was a guy that got stuff done at the last second. Sometimes you get those deadlines and you do your best work, right? You probably could have created an awesome paper if you would have spent the time little by little all throughout the week and all throughout the month that you knew you had coming up at the end of the month. But you waited till the night before, you crunched it out, and it still turned out pretty darn good because, you know, sometimes those deadlines create good work. Maybe this deadline of finally getting into the playoffs is going to create some good work for the Bucks, and maybe it's just something that they need that extra pressure and motivation. But there are definite red flags for this Bucks team as they head into the playoffs. Want to talk about the matchup against the Indiana Pacers. We're going to take a look back inside the box score. We're going to take a look at the Pacers and Bucks matchups from throughout the year. The Pacers got the better of the Bucks throughout the regular season. Hopefully that's something that turns around in the playoffs. We'll do that next here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's.
Let's see what the numbers say about today's game as we dive into the box score. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM The Fan.
Toby Altizer in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer today. We're going to dive inside the box score in just a second, but you can dive into a breakfast burrito at Wendy's tomorrow morning. It's a full-blown breakfast, rolled to perfection. Right now at Wendy's, kickstart your morning with the new breakfast burrito. This isn't your average breakfast burrito. We're talking six strips of bacon, seasoned potatoes, which, by the way, Charlie, I don't know if you know this. I was known as the little potato wedge when I was back out in Milwaukee because that was my thing. So having some potatoes in a breakfast burrito is fantastic. But six strips of bacon, seasoned potatoes, two fresh cracked eggs, and two slices of cheese all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. It's a complete breakfast in one hand, ready to go anywhere you go. Introducing Wendy's new breakfast burrito. You know that Cinnabon pull apart sounds fantastic. I don't know that it's the best idea. You get a little hands a little sticky while you're trying to drive. Maybe you just go with a breakfast burrito. Either one sounds like a good choice to me, but get your Monday started tomorrow at Wendy's. But want to take a deep dive inside the box score. Generally, we'd look at today's game, but is there much to take away from today's game when the second half it didn't look like the Bucks wanted to play? Let's take a look at the five matchups between the Pacers and the Bucks. Just briefly looking at both. Now, there's a couple things. The Bucks have not faced the Pacers since the Pacers acquired Pascal Siakam, and the Pacers have not faced the Bucks since Doc Rivers took over. So make what you will of these games and the various stat lines that we're going to talk about, but they have not really faced each other in their current iterations just yet. The last time that these two teams matched up was January 3rd. The Pacers got the better of the Bucks, 142 to 130. They had a 47-point third quarter. Giannis had 26 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists on 8 of 13 shooting. Damian Lillard had 23 points. He struggled from the field that day, only 6 of 18. Chris Middleton had 19 points, 4 of 7 from deep. He had 7 assists as well. Taking a look at what happened for Indiana, Tyrese Halliburton was fantastic with 31 points and 12 assists. Also had 3 blocks on the day. He was 10 of 20 from the field, 5 of 11 from deep. Second leading scorer for the... They had 3 guys with 15 points. Obi Toppin off the bench had 15 points. Miles Turner had 15 points. And Bruce Brown, who's no longer with them, had 15 points as well. So again, make what you will, but the Pacers are 4-1 against the Bucks this year. Their last matchup being January 3rd. They matched up 2 days prior on New Year's Day. The Pacers getting the better of the Bucks once again at Pfizer Forum. The January 3rd game was in Indiana. The January 1st game was at Pfizer Forum. The Pacers beating the Bucks 122 to 113. Tyrese Halliburton with another good game against the Bucks. In 37 minutes, he had 26 points and 11 assists. He finished a rebound shy of a triple-double. Benedict Mathurin had a great game as well, coming off the bench. 36 minutes, 25 points, plus 22 in the plus-minus. Obi Toppin was fantastic with a plus 35, 11 points coming off the bench. For the Bucks, Giannis led the way with 30. He had 11 assists and 18 rebounds for a triple-double. Chris Middleton had 21. Brooke Lopez had 21. Another tough shooting night for Dame. He was 3 of 16. He only finished with 13 points. Really, it was the bench that kind of cost him. All 5 starters for the Bucks finished with a positive in the plus-minus category. Bobby Portis was minus 21 on the day. And Campaign was minus 13. Pat Connaughton was minus 22. So again, make what you will of some of these. But going back even further, we'll kind of breeze through these now. The Bucks beat the Pacers their lone time this year on December 13th, and we remember that game at Pfizer Forum because Giannis dropped 64 points, and the Pacers wanted to keep the ball. So make it that what you will. Damian Lillard, 6 of 14 from the field, 21 points. Bobby Portis doing what he does at Pfizer Forum with 19 points off the bench, 8 of 13 from the field. Tyrese Halliburton had 22 in that game. Miles Turner also had 22 in that game. Their first two matchups, just taking a look back once again. December 7th was their second matchup of the year. The Pacers won 128 to 119. Again, another tough loss for the Bucks. They scored 43 in that third quarter on that matchup, though. But Tyrese Halliburton, 27 points against the Bucks, 11 and 19 from the field in that one. Miles Turner with 26 points. Taking a look for the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo with 37 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 assists. Middleton had 20 points. Damian Lillard, a little bit better shooting day. 7 of 20 for 24 points. Brooke Lopez with 18. And their first matchup of the year was a close one. The Pacers beat the Bucks 126 to 124. It was only the 8th game of the year for the Bucks. Giannis with 54 points, 19 of 25 from the field, 16 of 18 from the line, 12 rebounds. Damian Lillard did not play in this one. Chris Middleton had 19 points for the Bucks. Looking for the Pacers, 26 points for Benedict Mathurin and 29 points for Tyrese Halliburton, 21 for Miles Turner. So make of it what you will. The Pacers this year are 4-1 against the Bucks, and the one thing that you feel good about is Giannis is kind of dominated, but again, they haven't played since they've acquired Pascal Siakam. So you'd think that Siakam's going to be tasked a little bit with following Giannis around, because otherwise you'd feel real, real good going into this series. Because if nothing else, if you can get Giannis back out on the floor, you feel like you could almost depend on 30, 35, 40 from Giannis every night. But instead, I think he'll have to get some help. But something that I think was big that we haven't talked about a whole lot so far this show that I thought was really good from Rohan Kadi when we talked with him on Friday You know, I asked him, what's the X factor? You know, is it Doc Rivers? Is it making some adjustments? What is the X factor for this team to feel like they can get over the hump and win this whole thing this year? And even really just advance past the first round. And he brought up Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton. That it's always been those guys. Can they step up? And frankly, if it's what we saw today, wasn't very good. 8 field goals on 29 attempts, 0 for 8 from deep. The only saving grace is combined they were 17 and 19 from the free throw line. But they only combined for 33 points. You have 7 turnovers between the two of them with 7 assists. I don't know. You're going to need Giannis to win going into the playoffs, going deep into the playoffs. You're going to need Giannis to win. We all know that. You know, when you face off against potentially a Celtics team, when you face off potentially against, you know, a New York Knicks team, or even looking at the Sixers or something like that, you're going to need Giannis to win. We know that. The issue is, you feel like you should be able to get through at least a couple of games, maybe even a full series in that first round, especially against the Pacers team. And if this type of play continues from Chris Middleton and from Damian Lillard, specifically Damian Lillard, you're going to be in trouble. Because this is why you went out and got Damian Lillard. You know, this is why, like we talked about earlier, it felt like before the season started, not just locally in Wisconsin, but kind of all throughout the area, when John Horst pushed all the chips in on the table and got rid of one of the best defensive players in the league to get what everyone thought was one of the best offensive players in the league, it felt like all the chips were in, it's finals or bust. It felt like everything was pushed in. And again, I felt like it was a good move in terms of it moved everyone down a little bit. It took Giannis from being the clear number one and then everyone else being number 3 and 4 options that were moved up a little bit, right? Like, I like Chris Middleton. I think, you know, we can have the argument, is he a true number two? We've had that. Since some of the injuries, he's probably more of a three. Maybe before he could get into that two conversation. You know, definitely in 2021, at times he played like a true number two option, and that's a large part why they have a ring. Because of Chris Middleton playing like a number two and even filling in when Giannis was out. But he feels like a number three option now. Drew Holiday, at his best offensively, he's probably at his best a three. He probably sits in that number four option range. I think that's why he fits so well. I think that's why the Celtics are fine keeping him around, because he really is their fourth option. When you've got Tatum, when you've got Brown, when you've got Porzingis, he's your fourth option. And I think he fits perfectly there. But you were expecting those guys to play like your number two and three options. Now, instead of that, you've got a 1A and a 1B with Giannis and Dame, depending on the time of the game, depending upon what the game is dictating. Either one can take over the game. And then that moves Chris Middleton into, I think, a natural spot for him, being a number three, where, you know, whether it's because one of them's on the bench, both of them are on the bench, or they need a break and they just say, here, Chris, go to work. Like, there were back-to-back possessions today where I felt really good about what Chris Middleton was doing, where he gets the ball on the block, goes to work against Wagner, who's got some size, but again, Middleton has that size as well, gets to his spot, little fadeaway jumper just inside the free throw line, money, all day. That's Chris Middleton. And then you saw him again get the ball on the post up after he'd gotten down early on the break, one-on-one against Jalen Suggs. That's a mismatch, undersized guy, went to work, spin move baseline, lay it in. I like that. I think you need that, you know, 4, 5, 6 times down the floor for an entire game. You don't need a ton out of Chris Middleton. I don't need him to be, you know, the best three-point shooter in the land. I don't need him to be scoring 25 points a game. That's great. If he does that, that's fantastic. That's what you acquire Damian Lillard to do, by the way. He's supposed to be that guy. I don't need him to be Superman. I don't need him to be the number two option. I need him to be that guy that occasionally down the floor can help out with Dame and Giannis when they need a little bit of a break, and he can hit timely shots as well. And we've seen that throughout Chris's career. Maybe not since some of the injuries, but we have seen throughout Chris's career that he can be that guy that can take some clutch buckets. Obviously, Damian Lillard, we know all about that. We need to see Dame time, though. I think Chris Middleton's going to be fine in this role. It's all about staying healthy for him into the playoffs. I think Chris Middleton's going to be able to give you what you need. As the third option, he's going to give you what you need. If you expect him to still be the number two option, then you're probably going to be a little bit disappointed at times during the playoffs. I don't think if you expect him to be the third option, he's fine. I think he's going to be fine there. You need Damian Lillard to show up. Even when Giannis is on the floor, you need Damian Lillard to show up. And it can't be nights like tonight. 2-14 from the field. Yes, he got to the line, but you need a little more consistency where he's hitting his shots. 0-4 from deep. You need some consistency. And that's going to be on Doc Rivers as well. It can't always be isolation ball, like he talked about in his post-game press conference. There was like 11 straight possessions where they went ISO. It can't all be isolation. Giannis can go ISO. No problem. Giannis can go do his thing. Stay out of foul trouble. Do your thing, Giannis. Dame can go ISO from time to time, but make some things work. You know, I heard, forget who it was talking about the Bob Myers, old Warriors GM, was talking about how he talked with Steph Curry and asked him, what's it like playing a playoff game? And Curry said, it's like playing in two regular season games. So imagine the just exhaustion of a full playoff series. Now imagine that full exhaustion when the entire weight of a basketball team and carrying them is on your shoulders. And not just carrying them, but you're doing everything in ISO ball every time down the floor. It just weighs on you. Especially when you're getting into your 30s. Two-man game with Giannis, whether it's running him off a screen here, whether it's running the pick and roll and getting him some easier looks, whatever it has to be if you're Doc Rivers. Again, don't love the answer, what can I do? You've got to find ways to get Dame involved early and often. Because, you know, it feels like even though you've got this injury to Giannis, it feels like he's going to be all right from all the reports. It seems like he's going to be all right. So even if he misses one game, maybe two games, hopefully not more than that, it feels like he should be all right. But you need Damian Lillard to show up, and you need him to be a big part of the reason why the Bucks are succeeding on the offensive end. And frankly, too, they have to bring a defensive intensity that we haven't seen for a large part of this season. And maybe it's not going to matter against a young Indiana Pacers team that's going to get up and down, and maybe you can go blow for blow with them, and you know if it needs to be, maybe you can win some of these games 120 to 115 or something like that. You know, playoff scoring usually doesn't get crazy ridiculously high just because of the difference in how games are officiated and whatnot. But can you bring some of that defensive intensity, because you're going to have to need it? Look, I think the Bucks are going to get past the Indiana Pacers. I think they will. I think they'll get past them, and then it's about whoever they're going to face in the second round, and I think, honestly, they can get past them. But the issue is, if they don't bring a defensive intensity, I don't see them getting past the second round. Because the intensity that you saw at times today, again, 82nd game of the year, but even throughout this season, I don't like that it felt like they were taking a break on that side of the floor. And some of it is, you lose a Drew Holiday, I get that. Drew Holiday, one of the best defenders in the league. I get that maybe you don't have the defensive pedigree that you've once had if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. But a lot of what it comes down to is effort. And I didn't see a lot of effort today on the glass. I didn't see a lot of effort defensively in the second half. And that needs to be something that you can just turn on. And I'm a little bit worried that if you've created bad habits in the regular season, that that's not something as simple as flipping a switch. So maybe it takes a game or two. But we saw last year, the playoffs, even in the first round, against a team that you're definitely better than on paper, it's not something where you can just continuously spot games to other teams and expect, yeah, we'll get it done this time. A little bit worrying. What do you think, though? We're going to wrap things up when we come back. 414-677-1250 if you want to still hop in on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops post-game show served up by Wendy's. We'll kind of go through again the playoff bracket, give our thoughts on how far we think the Bucks are going to go. I kind of do feel like it's got to be a little bit of finals or bust for the Bucks. Maybe it's just Eastern Conference Finals because of the way that things have played out and, you know, looking ahead to next year a little bit. But this isn't something where when you make a move like Horse did to kind of push the chips in for this year, this isn't something where you can just keep looking down the road. You know, at least with the previous team, when you had Drew Holiday and those, you don't want them to, but you can almost rest on your laurels like, yeah, we won an NBA Finals. We've done it at least once. This team hasn't. Chris and Giannis and Brooke and some of those guys, Dame hasn't, and Dame's the second biggest dude on the team. So this is a different team, even if it's only a handful of differences. This is a different team. They haven't done it. Let's see if they can. 414-677-1250. We're going to wrap everything up next. The Bucks lose to the Magic 113-88, but now we know their matchup in the playoffs. They're going to face off against the Indiana Pacers in the 3-6 matchup in the Eastern Conference. We'll wrap up the Pro Hoops postgame show next here on The Fan.
The final buzzer has sounded, and the game's over. It's time to talk about who played well and who didn't. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops Postgame Show, served up by Wendy's. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens this May at the Potawatomi Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. Now, let's get to your calls and reaction from the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Final couple minutes here of the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's. Final game of the regular season for the Bucks, and they fall to the Magic 113-88. They finish the year at 49-32 and fall from the 2 seed down to the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. That means they're no longer going to have to wait to know their opponent in the playoffs, which could have been, if they finished as a 2 seed, could have been the Sixers, or it could have been the Miami Heat. Instead, they now know they're going to face off against the Indiana Pacers. The play-in tournament's going to go on in the next couple of days. It's going to go from Tuesday to Friday with various games going on, and then Saturday is going to tip off the first round. Is it finals or bust for the Bucks? To me, it kind of feels like it has to be. Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is about to change what it means to bet big and bet bold. With a huge video wall, seating for over 200, an expanded food menu, and more, the new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens this May. I want to take a look at the bracket, and we'll go through and make some predictions. Charlie and I will go through and just predict how far the Bucks will go. And I don't know. It feels like it's finals or bust to me, but I don't know that they're going to make it there. It just feels like the way that this season has gone, I don't know that there's any way that you can feel confident that this team is getting past really any opponent, but especially a team like Boston. But let's start, Charlie, with the first series. They're going to face off against the Indiana Pacers. What's your feeling in that series?
I mean, I got the Bucks in this one. I think they're the better overall defensive team. The Pacers can put up 140 points, but they quite often also give up 140 points. I think the Bucks just have an offense that can match them at their, like, close to highest, if not the highest. The only issue I see in that game is that the perimeter defense might be not the best. Playing against a guy like Tyrese Haliburton, who started off the season extremely hot, the second half of the season hasn't really been as good, but he'll probably heat it up for the playoffs. And then a guy like Benedict Mathurin, who's always going to be a threat on that perimeter. That's the only worry I have, but I got the Bucks in this one.
How many games?
I'm going to give them 6 games. I'll let it go a little longer than maybe it should.
Bucks in six, man. Bucks in six. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Bucks in six as well. I mean, I think that Indiana is going to give them some trouble in some of these games. I think that the Bucks, you know, maybe it's a game one loss or it's a game two. I think it's going to be one of those things where they're going to learn, like, they're going to have a rude awakening at some point in this series, and it's going to kind of kick them into gear. Hopefully they don't need that. Hopefully it's something where they just take care of business, but I'll go Bucks in six. So let's just let's have a little fun here. Let's have some predictions here. So that would mean the Bucks will face the winner of the 2-7 matchup. And it's a possibility of 3 teams because of the play-in tournament. It could be the Knicks. It could be the 76ers. It could be the Heat. Charlie, who do you think is going to win whatever that series ends up being?
First of all, I hate all those matchups, honestly, for the Bucks.
I agree.
It, again, like I said earlier, out of all those teams, honestly, I think I'd want to play the Heat the most. We have a little more experience against them in the playoffs. As of recent years, it's a lot of the same team for the Heat.
Yep.
With like a team like the Knicks, the way Jalen Brunson has been playing the past few weeks with Julius Randle being out for them, I don't want to face that. I don't want Damian Lillard guarding that. I don't want Pat Connaughton guarding that. I don't even really think I want Pat Bev guarding that. That's the worst case scenario for us. And then right in the middle, the 76ers sit. I think if Giannis is healthy, he'll put up a good matchup against Joel Embiid. If Brook Lopez is playing at the top of his defensive game, we'll have a little help there. Then you force Tyrese Maxey to beat you. I think I like our odds with that one better than the Knicks, but overall, I think I'd rather go against the Heat.
All right, so let's just say, though, I like that breakdown. Who do you think wins the Sixers-Heat matchup to get the 7th seed? And then who do you think wins the winner of that against the Knicks?
I think the Sixers take down the Heat in the play-in tournament here. And then I think, honestly, it feels like a Knicks year. I have the Knicks being the 76ers in that next round.
Interesting. All right. I think I might roll with the Sixers there. But so you would have the Knicks moving on, and they would face the Bucks. How would you like that series? Because I'll have the Sixers and the Bucks.
That one, more than any of these other ones, I feel it could definitely be a 50-50 series. It's either the Bucks are just going to kill them. I think it'll be like a 4-5 game series in that case. But if the Knicks take it, I think it could end up being 6 or 7 game series. Again, I just don't like the matchup between the Knicks offense and the Bucks defense. The Bucks defense is so much more centered on the interior. I think we can stop guys in the interior. I think there's guys like Joel Embiid and Bam Adebayo that we can take out of the game. I don't really think the Knicks have a person that we can take out of the game that affects the game that much.
So who would you pick, though? You think the Knicks win that series?
I think the Knicks probably come out on that series if the Bucks can't play good enough defense, yeah.
All right, so you think the Bucks end up losing in the second round. I'll take my chances. I think the Bucks. I said the Sixers will get through. I think the Bucks can get through the second round. I think we both think that the Celtics will be in the Eastern Conference Finals, right?
Definitely. I don't think there's any team that matches up with them in the league.
So Bucks-Celtics, assuming the Bucks were to get through the second round, because I think they will. Any chance? I kind of feel like the Celtics would steamroll the Bucks. I think if the Bucks match up with the Sixers, I think it's a 7-game series. Or if it's against the Heat or the Knicks. Like, I think that's going to be a long series. I think the Bucks have a shot in that one. I don't think they have a shot. I don't see any way that they're going past the Celtics. Unless there's an injury to Tatum or Brown. I just don't see that they're getting past with the way this Bucks team has played. Even under Doc Rivers, it's not like it's been that much better. I don't know. I just don't see. I think that any win that this Bucks team has in the playoffs is going to be gritty and it's going to be annoying and it's not going to be something where it's like, oh yeah, this is a well-oiled machine. It's going to be something that's a lot more difficult than it needs to be. And at some point in the playoffs, when it's a grind like that, and like we talked about, it feels like 2 regular season games in one, so you're just exhausted. Sometimes you just need a laugher in there. I don't think the Bucks are going to have many of those. And I think it's just going to wear them down. I don't know that Giannis is going to be fully 100%. And if that's the case, if he's already worn down and you're having to work that much harder, I think you could run into some real trouble. So I think the Bucks end up pooping out in the Eastern Conference Finals, which would be a disappointing end of the season, but probably a realistic realistically, the way things have gone lately, it might even be going farther than we would have expected at certain points throughout the year. But that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Don't worry. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is going to be back. He's going to be back. I'm 0-2, so get me out of here. I'm 0-2. But also, make sure, Wisconsin Sports Daily, weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer starts tomorrow. Make sure you're listening. Bucks postseason tickets are going to be up for giveaway. That's going to do it for me, Toby Altizer. Appreciate my guy Charlie back in the studio. That's going to do it for the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoop Postgame Show, served up by Wendy's. The Bucks are going to take on the Pacers after they fell in the final game of the regular season. Appreciate you guys listening in. Toby Altizer, out.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.